just need to, at times, let our hair down and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. And I can tell you, down on the Arkansas Senate floor, I'll be down there tomorrow. We're going to be wrapping up this fiscal session. And I'll tell you, down there, I absolutely invite the presence of the Holy Ghost right there on the floor with me, just like I do anywhere else. Because I tell you, when you're dealing in a seat of government and a seat of power, the spiritual warfare grows intense. We're dealing with life and death situations in some cases. Now, we deal with budgets, and that's one thing, that's fine. But we also deal with life and death situations. You say, what do you mean, Jason? I'm talking about we deal with legislation dealing with people that are in prison. Sometimes we deal with sentences for people that they'll never see light of day again outside of a prison. They commit a crime. We deal with issues regarding health care. We deal with issues regarding abortion, which I covered extensively this morning. How many of you are here tonight and you were not here this morning? Raise your hand. Just got a few out there. Okay, how many was here this morning? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm glad that you came back. Thank you. Thank you. You know, sometimes when you go in, you don't know when you're preaching if you're going to get anybody to come back for the second service. But I do appreciate you coming, because I do know that all of you understand that the country's in a serious situation, that we have to be dedicated to doing what we can to save our country, to save our nation. I was talking with a few of you after the service and even before the service tonight, and if you want to learn more about what we're doing and what National Association of Christian Lawmakers is involved in, if you're able and you have access to Facebook out there, go to Jason Rapert for Arkansas. So just my name for Arkansas. And I will tell you, I've been out here involved in a lot of things. And I told you this morning, I am being sued by the atheists in federal court. We need your prayer. They were planning to take me to trial in February. And then they decided that since I'm on the ballot for lieutenant governor, that it wouldn't be a good idea to tell all of you in Arkansas that they're suing me. So they moved the trial till after the election in June. That was nice of them, wasn't it, Chris? But the thing is that, look, I'm still going to be standing up for what I stand up for on a daily basis through the National Association of Christian Lawmakers and as an individual American citizen, whether I'm in the state senate or whether I'm lieutenant governor or not. Because if my testimony and my preaching is predicated on an elected office, then I'm not doing it for the right reasons anyway. But I was preaching these messages before I ever got into politics, and people knew what I stood for. And by the grace of God, four times people have decided to hire me to stay in there. We've done a lot of wonderful legislation. That's for another date. But I will tell you, one of the most interesting things for me, we were in Conway, Arkansas, after church on a Sunday. And just like all of you normally do, you go find you a place to eat or go home and have a meal. But we were out, and we were about to leave, and we were standing by the door, and I saw this lady pushing a stroller across the floor very hurriedly to me. And I just knew, you know, it's one of those moments you knew that she's coming to somebody, and I think that's me. And she pushed that stroller right up to me. And she said, "Senator, we've been wanting to meet you. I want to introduce you to my son, Duncan." And so I looked down, and there was a little boy about 6 months old sucking on a pacifier. He had, as I recall, a little bow tie on his shirt. And he's just a sharp-looking little guy. And I thought it was kind of that politician meets baby moment, right, that you kiss the baby and all of that. And I said, "Well, he's just a great-looking kid." And as soon as I brought my eyes up and my eyes met her, she said, "Duncan's alive because of your heartbeat, Bill." And I said, I was speechless, believe it or not, but it really touched me, because my family, the first time we ever experienced true death threats is when we were passing the heartbeat bill. And I couldn't imagine why that me wanting to save a baby's life and my colleague standing with me to do that would cause people to want to threaten our lives. But you see, we're not dealing with just politics. We're dealing with evil. We're dealing with pure evil. Anybody that would want to kill a baby just because they are inconvenient, that's an evil decision. It is a false god. I didn't get to go as far as I'd like this morning with Nebuchadnezzar this morning. But you see, that false god that Nebuchadnezzar put up that caused his entire nation to come at his order, and they were going to bow down to that? America has much stronger false gods than that 90-foot-tall idol. And one of them is the false god to abortion. I've had ladies come up after I've preached in churches, pastor, or spoken at an event when I've talked about these issues, and they come up and say, I was one of them. In a crowd this size, many of you will have sometime or another been part of a decision discussing whether or not an abortion should occur or what should happen. And I want you to know, if you're one of those people, that God loves you and forgives you. Because you see, our country has lied to our young women, telling them it was a blob of tissue and not a real baby. But through technology, by God's grace, we now know these babies grow and we can see their images. And many of you, your children and grandchildren, have pictures of their little brothers and sisters on the refrigerator, and they talk about my little sister or my little brother that's going to be born. And so this lady told me that. She said, "He's alive because of your heartbeat, Bill." And I said, "Ma'am, I don't understand. You do know that the federal court struck down the ban on abortion. You see, we were the first state in the nation that actually passed a heartbeat bill, March the 6th, 2013. But the federal judge involved with that bill struck the ban down. They put an injunction on it. This is why the other day, just a few weeks ago, you saw in the paper, I proposed that the total ban on abortion that I sponsored last year that we did pass, and I want to thank you for sending people to Little Rock, Arkansas, that would vote to ban abortion. We voted to ban it all except to save the life of a mother. But a judge again put an injunction to stop us from enforcing it. And so Texas, if you've heard about the Texas heartbeat bill, the Texas civil cause of action, instead of the state of Texas enforcing their law, they use what's called a civil cause of action. Meaning that if you knew somebody was violating the abortion law in Texas, you could go to court and sue them to stop them. And guess what? The federal courts could not stop that tactic. So one of the reasons that NACL is important to me is because it happens to be Senator Brian Hughes of Texas, one of our members of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, who passed that Texas heartbeat bill and used that new version with the civil cause of action. So I stood in your Capitol just the other day, myself and others with me, and we said Arkansas should amend our law on our total ban to use the civil cause of action immediately to stop abortion in our state. And look, they've tested it. It went to the Supreme Court. 4 times the U.S. Supreme Court has said, we can't stop the Texas law. And do you know that all of a sudden, after being named the most pro-life state in the nation just last year, that all of a sudden some of your Republicans quivered and stuttered and said, oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't do that right now? I couldn't believe it. You see, but we're dealing with principalities and powers of and wickedness in high places that would cause people that would tell you they're pro-life to not pick up a tool and use it. I sat down with your governor, Asa Hutchinson. And I know this is being streamed. He knows I've said it. And look, I want him to do right. I want him to do well. I want him to do right in Arkansas. And when you say you're pro-life and I'm showing you a tool to use it, and I said, Governor, all we've got to do is adopt this and use it. And he gives me excuse after excuse saying it's not the right time. Well, I want to ask you, when 10 babies on average a day die in Arkansas, when is the right time for that baby? I'm praying they wake up. She said, Jason, little Duncan's alive because of your bill. I said, ma'am, explain that to me. She said, well, I'm the adopted mother. Duncan's mom was raped. She took a day after pill, but little Duncan survived. That was his first miracle. That was his first survival. She said, my husband and I had been praying for years to have a baby, and we couldn't conceive. And we got a call from the hospital, and it was Duncan, the social workers with Duncan's mother, because she had went to the abortion clinic in Little Rock, Arkansas, and was getting ready to have an abortion. But my bill, which thank God the judge didn't strike down this portion of the law. So every woman that goes to an abortion clinic, before she makes that final decision, she is given an ultrasound and advised whether or not there's a heartbeat in her womb. And said, are you sure that you want to do this? Because, by the way, she has to be put, it's put into writing the statistical probability that the baby will make it to full term if she leaves the baby in its natural environment. And by the way, when you detect a heartbeat, 95% of those babies are born perfectly healthy. And the story goes that when she heard the heartbeat of little Duncan, she said, I can't do this. I want to put this baby up for adoption. And she then told this whole story to Duncan's mom and dad the day that he was born, and they then adopted little Duncan. And the other day, Pastor, I got to see little Duncan standing at the front of his church with his pastor, having accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and saw him baptized. And so listen to me out there, Governor, and all these representatives and senators, some of which you know that have made excuses why they wouldn't pause just long enough. There were many little Duncans waiting to be born, but you didn't take the time. You had time for insurance bills, fiscal matters, but not the time to go ahead and make a decision to save those lives. Now, coming up in June, we're going to have a decision from the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'm praying that they overturn Roe, because me and Representative Mary Bentley passed the trigger bill in Arkansas that says if that decision occurs, we immediately ban abortion except to save the life of the mother immediately in our state. So if it happens, we're ready. But you see, I happen to believe you do all you can when you can. You see, to me, it's not okay to let 2,000 more babies die till June. Wait. There's many towns in Arkansas don't have 2,000 people in them. And with 63 million babies piled up, I'll tell you, it would make a wonderful movie scene. The ladies in the pregnancy resource centers, the directors, all came to Little Rock, had me go to the governor's office with them. They met with him. They wanted me to be there. When I got there, I said, I don't know that the governor will want me to be in the meeting with you because we disagree on this issue. But I'll be there for you if you want me to. I stood there, and it was a rather intriguing moment when the leader of the group said, the governor just called me into the office and said, if you don't leave, he won't even meet with us. He's afraid to meet with you. I said, that's because he knows I won't let him get by with not telling the truth on the issue. I said, but you know what? I expected and I told you he would do this. So I left the room. I'm so proud of those ladies. They sat down and the governor thought he was going to tell them how the cow eat the cabbage, the way we say back home. Going to just tell them how these ladies just didn't quite understand, you know. Can I tell the truth in here? They said at the end of the meeting, two of them got up and walked around the conference room. They had two baby blankets. And they laid them in the front of your governor. And they unfurled those blankets and they had the fetal models of over 500 dead babies. And they laid them out and said, Governor, this is how many babies have died in Arkansas since December the 9th because you wouldn't back the bill to allow us to use the civil cause of action. I'm told that it touched him, but it didn't touch him enough because he refused even this spring to stand up for it. Now look, he has said he's pro-life and he's signed pro-life bills that I've passed. But the false god to abortion is so strong that it would even keep people that say they want to stop abortion from lifting their hand to do it when they got a tool in their hand that they could. And so how many of you in here want to see this stop in our country? You've got to pray in the spirit and to pray fervently for the blinders to be taken off of the minds and the eyes of people like our governor. Now look, I love him. I've helped him on many things. But I am not going to back off of telling the truth just trying to cover up when somebody falters, okay? And I want our state to stand strong for the sanctity of life. I know that that's a tough word, and some of you say, man, you just naming names. Well, didn't Paul name a few names to mark those amongst you? Not because I condemn them, it's because I want them to do right. And look, we're elected officials. We're accountable to the people, and the people ought to know what we're doing, don't you believe? So I fought for it and I've stood for it. Boy, they don't like it sometimes. But you know what? Psalm 56:11 says, you put your trust in God, what can any man do to you? Amen? So give the Lord a hand here as I transition for you just a minute. I'm going to talk to you tonight. I'm going to run through several things that I think are important. It's going to absolutely, I believe, astound you that these things have happened. But I want to tell you before I get going, because when I get into this, I'll have to hang with it till the very end. But I want to tell you, coming up here in just a few weeks, you're going to have the privilege and the responsibility to vote. Can you say amen? And I want you to be quick to get out there and vote. If you're not registered, get registered. My grandmother is 90. She just turned 94. What, 92? 92. She wouldn't vote her whole life because she didn't want to get called for jury duty. She said, I am not registering because I don't want to get called to a jury. But it got so bad under the Democrats, she's finally given in. She's registered to vote. And she voted for Donald Trump. And I'm proud she did. She had a Trump sign out there. Now, let me cover something for you, Christian. They called on me during that election and said, talk about how Christians can vote. Because, you know, they tried to convince a lot of us that we shouldn't vote for him, right? He was too ornery. He did too many things. Now, you remember this morning we talked about King David. What did he do? He killed a man and took his wife over his lust for the wife. We've talked about, I could just go on naming this. It's in the scripture. And what I found out, Pastor, is that I didn't know that there was one person in the whole wide world that wasn't worthy of forgiveness and a brand new start except for Donald John Trump. So they want to offer forgiveness and they want to offer redemption, but when it came to Donald Trump, no, he's off limits. Y'all know I'm preaching to you now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think that some of them thought when they figured out Paul all of a sudden was going to preach Jesus? He'd been killing, he killed Stephen. Can you imagine when they brought him to Stephen's home church? What? You're going to let that man in the pulpit? You know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you something. I don't like everything he said, and I won't make any excuses for some of the things he might have said that were wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. He loved America, and what he told you, he held his word to. And for all the promises they had, we do have the most pro-life laws that we've had in the history of the country because he stood with it. And if it weren't for the judges he just appointed to the Supreme Court, you wouldn't be expecting Roe v. Wade to be overturned. And you know what else he did? And it's part of what's going on in the Bible, is that he moved our embassy to Jerusalem where it should be. And I tell you what, when I stop every time and I fill up my truck for $100 plus, I would say that the Democrats shutting off the Keystone Pipeline and shutting down our energy, they're hurting me and you and everybody. We got enough American energy to power our country for 100 plus years. Natural gas and oil aplenty. And your president right now has shut it down. And buying it from the Russians or using it to kill Ukrainians. Think about it. It's amazing the change in just a few short months of what the country was and the jobs that were created and how we were going forward. And then all of a sudden now, you see, it's important that you vote. Benjamin Rush, one of America's founding fathers, said every citizen of a republic must watch for the state as if its liberties depended upon his vigilance alone. The most basic democratic participation of citizenry is voting. When we vote, we help determine who will lead the nation, make the laws, protect our liberties. Unfortunately, the church and people of faith often vote at an alarmingly low rate. When people of faith fail to vote, is it any wonder that policies are enacted that are contrary to believers' core values? What does the book of James say? Faith without works is dead. You can pray till the cows come home. But if you don't get up and put a hand to something that God gave you the ability to do, you're just sitting there missing an opportunity to make a difference. We need you to vote. We need you to volunteer. We need you to make phone calls. Look, I got an iPad right here I'm going to look at because I didn't have the paper copy I needed tonight. This iPad and that phone, if you got one, raise your hand if you got one, okay? You can touch the entire world. This ain't about me. So let's talk about Chris. You could go home this week, set that iPad up, set that phone up, put you a video up, and you say, look, I just wanted to come on here and talk to you just a minute and tell you that Chris Wharton is running for school board right here in Siloam Springs. And I love Chris. I've grown up with him. I've seen him play in church every Sunday. I know what he stands for. And I believe he would be the best man for the school board in Siloam Springs. Go vote for him May the 9th and May the 24th on Election Day. And share this with all your friends. Boom. And guess what? All of a sudden, in one night, he didn't pay a dime for it. And all of a sudden, 75 or 100 of you just sent out messages all over the community for your man. That's called power. Jesus put 12 disciples together for a reason. And you know what needs to happen? You need to find the people like Chris and like others that you believe in and that you want to serve, and you want to elect godly leaders to serve in these offices, to pass godly laws and to uphold godly things. You decide to do that, you have the power right there in your hand to touch your whole community. Did you know that? You can sit at home. You can get done with supper. And you can get Chris's website or his Facebook page and say, "Hey, John, I'm just sitting here thinking tonight. I want you to know that Chris Wharton's running for school board. Vote for him. Here's his link to his website." And guess what happens? Boom. Just sitting there all night sending out text messages. That's powerful. And guess what, Pastor? They can invite people to church that way too. Are y'all with me? I'm not talking rocket science here. I'm not talking anything mysterious here. I'm just talking about good old networking for you. That's how America came to be. They talked about it. They published pamphlets. Thomas Paine. Here's what some of people said about voting as I transition here momentarily. Not participating in the civic and political arenas not only violates historical precedent, but ignores what America's leaders have always taught. For example, listen to this. If America is to survive, we must elect more God-centered men and women to public office, individuals who will seek divine guidance on the affairs of state. Billy Graham. What did good old Charles Finney say? Charles Finney said, "The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and women and take consistent ground in politics." Charles Finney talked about politics. God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take right ground. It seems sometimes as if the foundations of the nation are becoming rotten, and Christians seem to act as if they think God does not see what they do in politics. Don't vote for people that pass policies that go against your core beliefs. You're condemning yourself. You are putting the noose up on the rack for yourself. President James Garfield, "Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because people tolerate ignorance and recklessness and corruption. If it be intelligent and brave and pure, it's because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature." Noah Webster. Y'all remember Webster's Dictionary? Amen? Y'all all right out there? Is this okay? I'm trying to equip you. See, you're in a battle whether you know it or not. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you know, I got a reminder the other day, Brother Lester Sumrall, I was listening to one of his messages. He said, you know, as he described all of that armor, do you not realize that you have thought, if you thought about it, there's nothing mentioned about something on your back? Because the Christian will take things head on. You don't need any armor on your back when you are standing there with the armor of God head on. Think about it. The Bible says that the enemy flees when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen? Here's what Noah said. God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. The preservation of a Republican government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for the selfish or local purposes. Corrupt or incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws, and the public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded. Think about it. I am trying to impart to you, just as I alluded to this morning, if you've got your Bibles, turn to it. I'm not going to make you stand. But Genesis 1, 26 through 28, mark it down, write it down if you don't have your Bible. Says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion," say dominion, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps over the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. In fact, I love it. One of my mentors said, these are the first five commandments given in the Bible. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And you know, we're not doing that anymore. That's part of the whole abortion deal, too. We wouldn't have a problem with funding Social Security if you had 60 million more beautiful young people that was a part of this country that were born and raised here. You wouldn't have to worry about an inverted population pyramid. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion, say dominion, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. I'm going on. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I've given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the sixth evening and the morning was the sixth day, and so on and so forth. He said, take dominion over everything. In this country, I want to share a resource. I like to share resources with you to equip you. We have one of the most ignorant populations in the history of the world when it comes to our history. Not because you're not capable. It's because they have tried to keep a lot of things from you about the history of your nation. Because if they can keep you ignorant of, now that does not mean stupid. There's a difference between being ignorant of something and stupid. Amen? Now don't look at your spouses at all. But there's a difference. Has anybody ever seen this book? The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States. Has anybody got one? It's a big book. It was written and finished in 1864. It was started in 1854 by Benjamin Morris. And Benjamin Morris was concerned that the country might split apart. 1776 had come and gone. Slavery was now becoming a big issue. States' rights were becoming a big issue. And he was concerned that the country might break up. And so he wrote this book. In this book, it records every mention that he could find in the country of every colonial charter and every state constitution of a state that was in place at that time where it mentions God or the Christian life and character of our country. It's a big book. I urge you to get it. You can come make a picture of it tonight and go out on Amazon, and before morning, it'll be headed your way. Amen? I wish I was selling. I'm going to have to start selling the thing, because I've advertised. I'm making somebody all kinds of money out there. But I'm not trying to make money for me or our organization. I want you to be equipped and trained. Because, see, when you're not equipped and trained, they can sully you and get you to sit down. I was on Channel 4. I told you this morning I put in the Ten Commandments monument at the Capitol. And they had me come on there with a man representing the American atheists. And so we got toward the end of that, and I took this with me. And I knew it was just the right time. And we got to the end of the interview, and I said, by the way, sir, have you ever seen this book? No. You never read this book? No. I said, well, until you go do it, you don't have anything further to say, because you don't even know anything about the actual beginning of the country. And that was the end of the interview. And by the way, when I told you this morning that they'd called me in to give my deposition on the Ten Commandments, I didn't say it all because for time's sake, but they told me, Pastor, they said, now, look, Senator, you're the only one where they're going to film you in the deposition, and they're flying in the leader of the Satanic Temple to sit at the table with you while you give your deposition. They wanted to intimidate me with that. This guy If you, and I will tell you, for those of you that are internet savvy, I want to tell you right now, bless your heart if you Google my name. Because they have called me everything and accused me of everything. They've got so many nasty things out there. They had a group come into Arkansas a couple years ago called I Hate God. And they grabbed my picture and put a picture of me chewing a baby in half. And I objected. I said, you know what? Who would want to go down there and even buy a burger in a place like that? Oh, man, it blew up in the national news. They're coming back in April, and they've already got a new picture of me. But you know what I heard an old minister say one time? He said that he was British. He said, you know, he said, I would hope that I would be effective enough for the Lord and the gospel that maybe even the devil might know my name. And you know what? I don't know if Beelzebub himself knows my name, but I know his minions do. And I'll tell you what the Bible says, blessed are you when they'll hate you and persecute you for my name's sake. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of things I've done, but it kind of makes me feel good that I've upset the devil and his camp. I'll tell you the truth. And we all ought to do that. Stand up. Don't let them come into your communities and sully you. School boards, city councils, they get letters from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They say, don't you pray. That's against the law. No, it's not. And you know what the sad thing is? They'll get that letter and find some little podunk lawyer out there that don't know, come here from Sikkim. Come on now. They can get you a divorce and get you out of jail, but they're not all constitutional scholars. Come on. And they'll get that letter and they say, well, you'd be better off just to not do that. And they lay down without ever going to court or anything. Just lay down and let them run over them. But we have people that will help you. First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Liberty Council, people that will stand up, because guess what? They sent me a letter a few years ago. First letter I ever got from the American Humanist Legal Foundation. They said, Senator Rapert, you need to stop and cease and desist from raising money for the Arkansas Ten Commandments Monument. You are a Christian preacher, and I know you're an elected office, so you shouldn't be, you know, it was all these things, reason I shouldn't do it. So I just turned on my little publication unit, and I got on Facebook Live, and I read the letter to them, and I said, here's what I think of your letter. And I ripped that thing up and just threw it right off the side. Next thing I know, Channel 4, 7-Eleven played them what I said. And guess what? I never heard another word from them. I'm telling you, quit letting people walk over you. You say, well, Jason, shouldn't we turn the other cheek? I try to, but it only tells you to do that one time. I ain't got but two. And I know some of you are not used to this. Do you want me to go in here and read about Jesus going in the temple? When he got tired of what they were doing? And he went in there and got after them. And you know what else I happen to believe? And I can't say this for sure, so I'll step out of the pulpit. But I'll tell you, I think that those writers probably cleaned up a few of Jesus' words. You hear me? He called them vipers and snakes. And what I need, brother, and what we need is a few men that'll be men again. Quit letting them run over them. I've got two daughters. I believe my daughters can do anything that they want to do in life. But you know what? I want a husband that'll love them and care for them and stand up and fight for them when it comes time. And you know what this country needs? It needs a bunch of men just like Pastor Muhlenberg in 1776 in January. He stood in his pulpit. He pastored two churches even back then. He spoke German and English. He was a Lutheran. And he stood in his pulpit on a Sunday morning, and all this stuff had been happening in America. All of these things had been going on, and he stood in his pulpit, and he read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time and a season for everything. And he got to a part and he said, there is a time for peace, but there is a time for war. And he said, now is the time to fight. And he took off his clerical robe. They wore robes. He took off his clerical robe, and it revealed the uniform of a colonel with his sword. And he put a call to the men in his church, and he walked out to the beat of drummers, and 300 of his congregation walked out of the church, joined with him, and formed a regiment in the Revolutionary War, and they went off to fight. Now, I'm not looking to try to muster some troops to go fight with ammunition and bullets tonight. But I'm telling you right now, you mark it down. If you don't get up and fight in the spirit, and you don't get up and fight politically for your country, you may get to the point where those bullets and that ammunition are going to be your only option again. Do you hear me? I'm saying this in love and saying it with conviction and a burden for you that you are not immune to history. There's only 330 million Americans in the world right now, and over 7 billion other people. The Chinese have 1 billion people themselves. The Indians have 1 billion people themselves. Do you not understand that the threats are real? We have seen the Democrat Party absolutely adopt the communist policies that we once taught our people to run from. You say, Jason, how do you know that? It's because I studied. You've seen that. Bernie Sanders once was shunned by many people in the Democrat Party because he said he loved communism. He loved socialism. And they would shun him, but guess what now? That's what's ruling in their party. Ilhan Omar and AOC and all those people, come on. How do I know that? I'm going to tell you. Congressional record, 1963, January the 10th, on a Thursday, in the United States House of Representatives, Mr. Herlong, this is from the congressional record, it says, and I'm trying to read it so I don't have to use my glasses here. Looky there. Mr. Herlong, this is the congressman from Florida, by the way, that's speaking. He says, Mr. Herlong, Mr. Speaker, he says, Mrs. Patricia Nordman of DeLand, Florida, is an ardent and articulate opponent of communism, and until recently published the DeLand Courier, which she dedicated to the purpose of alerting the public to the dangers of communism in America. He stood and he read this. You've seen them on C-SPAN. They'll stand and read this into the record. He said, at Mrs. Nordman's request, I include in the record, under unanimous consent, the following current communist goals, which she identifies as an excerpt from The Naked Communist. That's the title of a book by Cleon Skousen. How many of you have ever heard about what I'm fixing to tell you? One. Just like the flag this morning. Just one. Current communist goals. Listen up. Now, there's 45 of them. Now, some of these you're not going to think that much about because it was the Cold War. But now, all of a sudden, now the Cold War seems like just yesterday because now we're focused on Europe again, right? And let me tell you something. Every world war we've ever fought started in Europe. World War I, World War II. Current communist goals. Now, listen to this. You're going to get bored on the first few, but you're going to get real uptight and real alert here in just a minute. Because you see, what I'm going to tell you is that some of you have thought, you've lulled yourself into the same thinking, that this world is just progressing. And that our old ways, you know, they're just old-fashioned and people are just changing over there at the U of A. They're just changing. I'm going to tell you, and you're going to see tonight, that actually the people have planned all the chaos that you're experiencing now. Number one, the U.S. acceptance of coexistence is the only alternative to atomic war. Now, this is the Russians, the communists, wanting us to believe this so that they could get our defenses down. So, acceptance of coexistence is the only alternative to atomic war. Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate and preferences to engaging in atomic war. Now, guess what? All of a sudden, they've published what you might do if there was a nuclear bomb that went off. Y'all been seeing this in the news? We narrowly escaped just a few days ago the largest nuclear reactor in Europe blowing up because they shot it, bombed it. Number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. You know what would look so good for you to lay your weapons down? You would be superior morally to me. Vladimir Putin has over 6,000 nuclear warheads right now. He has enough warheads to set off a chain reaction around this world that might destroy the entire planet. And just days ago, we wasn't even thinking about it. We wasn't even concerned about it. And here this plan I'm telling you about that was read into the record is talking about it. Number four. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. I dare you to go to your house tonight and try to find something not made in China. Communist China. And I know they got after Senator Tom Cotton, tried to make him look like a fool, but now guess what? We now know that this virus that has got let loose around the world did start in Wuhan, China, in that lab. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it funny? And guess where all the cotton-picking surgical masks and all the gloves seem to come from? What a deal. Unleash a virus and then get rich giving them all the stuff they need to keep them safe. My Lord, I tell you what, I may just get a bus and hit the road. Number five. Extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Number six, provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist domination. Number seven, I told you it's going to be easy, but here in a minute you're going to start going, what? What? What did they say? Number seven, grant recognition of Red China. Admission of Red China to the UN. Isn't it frustrating, maddening, that the UN Security Council was being displayed to all of you the other day talking about Ukraine, and guess who is the president of the Security Council? The Russian Federation representative. And they vetoed everything they wanted to do. It is nothing but a kangaroo court to sit there with the aggressor being the one in charge that can veto everything that's happening out there. They ought to kick them out of the UN. Number eight, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under the supervision of the UN. Hang on. Number nine, prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests because the U.S. has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. Number 10, allow all Soviet satellites and individual representation in the UN. I just talked about that. So now they're in the security. And by the way, China is on the Security Council too. And any one of them can veto any resolution they make to get them to stand up and protect somebody. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other. Number 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do you know that you have people running for office in America that claim to be members of the Communist Party of America? People that believe that we should use atheism as a national religion? How many of you remember the 2012 Democrat Party Convention? Remember the video? The old boy walked out on the platform and they were voting on a resolution whether to take God out of the Democrat Party platform or leave it in. And he uttered the words, called for the motion, called for the votes, and they voted it out by acclamation. And he stuttered and he didn't know what to do, so he had to re-vote it again. And you heard them get up and by their voices, they voted to take it out. You hear me? Just look it up. Number 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. Number 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. 15, capture, this is where it gets interesting, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Anybody want to guess which one might be close to it? 15. That was 15-16. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institution, claiming their activities violate civil rights. 17. Hold on here, Chris. 17. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum down, dumb them down, and get control of teachers' associations and put the party line in the textbooks. They've done it. 18, gain control of all student newspapers. Walk onto any campus in America, and you're going to find 90% of them right now are talking socialist ideas. They've done polls where people have been asked, if you're a young person in here, please listen to me. The socialist ideas that are being given to you as some utopia that you can take part in, it's just mind-numbing propaganda of people that do what Putin's doing right now to Ukraine. Putin is saying right now in Ukraine that he's doing this for their good, that he's liberating them from Nazis in Ukraine, that he's helping them. Number 19, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. How many of you remember the Antifa riots? BLM. Now, I'm going to hit something really quick for you. When we are born again and we become new men and new women, God doesn't care about your skin color, where you're from, your ethnic background. He loves all the little children, red, yellow, black, and white, and so do I. And as for the Democrat Party, they were the party of Jim Crow and segregation, and the KKK, it was the Republicans that said they wanted to abolish slavery, by the way. Boy, I'm just speaking too truthful in here, aren't I? Abraham Lincoln died as an end result of being the first Republican candidate ever elected. And by God's grace, the same way that we got rid of that crime against humanity, which was slavery, I'm praying that this nation will get rid of the crime against humanity that is abortion. Use student riots. What did you see happen for 2 years in this country? Burning your downtowns, burning cities, Portland, Oregon, siege. And by the way, man, there's so much, I'm already feeling I ain't going to get it all out for you tonight, and I'm not going to keep you all night, but I'm going to tell you something. It's funny to me that they call riots on one day and then all of a sudden an insurrection on another. Double standards. Number 20, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments and editorial writing and policy making. Heard of fake news? How many of us don't even trust now some of the things we read and we hear? Because they've stopped. Now look, I don't think Walter Cronkite walked on water, but I long for the day when you just get somebody to sit down and tell you what happened, instead of telling you what they want to spin it to be to make you think happened. And it's up to the people to demand that. Number 21, gain control of key positions in radio and TV and motion pictures. I would tell you today that 95% and probably more of Hollywood is run by people that believe that you folks in here that are worshiping God and taking time on a weekly basis to study the Word of God in the Bible are absolutely ridiculous. They say that your religion is a crutch for feeble-minded people. That's what they think. And why, oh, why do we go give tens of millions of dollars to put in their pockets to make more movies to teach our kids this? I'm about to get, I mean, it sounds like I'm about to preach clothesline preaching, doesn't it? I read this when I first stumbled on it. I couldn't believe what I was reading. Because I hope that you understand that what I'm saying here, you're seeing what they planned carried out in your lifetime. 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from public parks and buildings. Substitute shapeless, awkward, meaningless forms. Did you hear what I just said? How many places have they gone in to tear down monuments to our history? They even said they want to take down Thomas Jefferson. They want to take down Washington. These crazy BLM people went after Abraham Lincoln, for goodness sake. Because they want to take all that away, you see. Just like the flag that you don't know anything about. Just like the book that you don't know anything about. And we're just sitting here letting them do it. Down here in Little Rock, Arkansas, COVID had just hit. The BLM riots just started. Did you know that they rioted at your state capitol? If you knew that, raise your hands. A few of you. They rioted for 3 days at least. Did you know that the mayor of Little Rock, Arkansas, Frank Scott, stood on the front steps out there, the front area of the Capitol, with his fist raised with him, and he marched down the street with the rioters, and that very night they burned the Arkansas Pharmacy Association building down there in front of your Capitol. They knocked out every window of every building that you could see around the front. They got up and did donuts on your Capitol ground. There's pictures of all this. They wrote the F word and expletives on the brass doors of your Arkansas State Capitol. You just go look it up. We can show you. They climbed up the poles and got the American flag down and burned the U.S. flag on the steps of your state capitol. Your state capitol. And you had an elected official that stood there in solidarity with them. I'm praying that Steve Landers beats Frank Scott, and Little Rock, Arkansas can be returned to some normal order. They've got crime going out the roof down there. Murders and things that are happening in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm going to tell you something. This is why when I choose to hook up with a party, I'm proud to stand with a party of law and order, and I back the blue in law enforcement, and we all ought to back the blue in law enforcement around here. Number 23, control art critics, directors of art museums. Their plan, you see, is to promote ugliness and repulsive, meaningless art. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and free press. Isn't it interesting? You've seen this evolve in your lifetime. You can get any amount of smut you want to in a moment's notice. And we're letting it happen, people. We're just letting it happen. I'm convicted myself, man. I know I've got to have cell phones to communicate. I'm convicted myself. What are we doing? Now look, it can be used for good. You can get a Bible on your cell phone. I couldn't listen to Billy Graham every morning getting ready if I didn't have that on that YouTube. So it's a good thing. But we need to be active in the education and in the security of our children about what they're getting on their phones. There are children that have been seduced and groomed and pulled into horrible relationships and killed by people using that little device to get to them. We should protect them. Amen? 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality and degeneracy and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. You've seen it happen. 27, oh my Lord. They actually had this in their plan, Pastor. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Lord, I don't know why you've called me to do all this. Now you know why I shared Ezekiel this morning. My God, we've got a rebellious nation. Slobbering at the trough of sin and loving every bit of it. Oh my gosh. I don't have the words to tell you what we've allowed to happen in this country. It's happening in our schools, happening in our universities, and infiltrating our churches. They've taken over denominations completely. Taken them over. They've taken your Bibles, and you might as well go in there and rip out Romans chapter 1. I was speaking with your pastor today about something. I'm going to take a respite from the 45. I want you to go mark this in Romans chapter 1 with me. Everybody okay? Say amen. I'm trying to equip you. Go to Romans chapter 1. And it says there down in the last few verses, 25. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, listen, but also approve of those who practice them. You see, not only that they do them, and boy, I'm getting on some rough ground here tonight, so hold on, pull your boots up just a minute. But a lot of our adults, our couples, our moms and daddies have been led astray because little Johnny decided to live an alternative lifestyle. And now they'll come tell Pastor, you need to quit preaching on that because little Johnny's okay. And he was born that way. No, he wasn't. He was taught to be what he is. You're born a male or a female, and they learn it. But this is a very important piece of the scripture. It says, those that do it deserve death. It says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And they are teaching your kids in school that they're to approve of all those things. That they're bigots if they want to stand up for what you believe in your word of God. What have we done? What have we allowed to happen? Please stay focused with me right now. It's important. No, don't let yourself be distracted with time. I'm about done. But I'm telling you that what has happened in this country has been intentional. It's not by accident. This was made as a goal in 1963. It was put in here. Now, the goal came before then. It was read into the record in 1963. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Remember, these goals were published to expose them in 1958, he says. Coincidence? Let me tell you something. Thomas Jefferson was one of your presidents. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the Baptists in response to a concern that they might somehow not be able to worship the way they wanted to. Why was this letter written? Why was this a discussion? It's because that many of your colonies actually paid for preachers. Did you know that? Virginia. They paid for preachers. Because, much like where they came from, the state had state religions. So the provinces that were often funded by churches, they helped pay for pastors in some of those provincial areas, some of the colonies. But you understand, then we went through the Revolution, and our founding fathers, they didn't want to have a state religion, but they did want us to have an honor of God. That's all over our history. I wish I could just go through and tell you, but I'm not. You're going to have to listen to my show, I guess. But every day, 1 hour a day, you can get all you want.